Welcome into the Bearcast on Sikkim365.com. I'm your host, Grayson Grunhafer, and today I'm joined by Ashley Hodge as we get to break down the Crown Basketball Tournament happening in Las Vegas here tomorrow. Actually, it starts ramping up, and Baylor's going to play on that first day. Baylor will take on Minnesota. We're going to go through kind of the various matchups, how we think Baylor's going to do, various things like that to put a cap on what has been a pretty rough basketball season, I think, for Baylor standards, at least.
Yeah, a chance to end on a good note, a chance to have a winning record. There's only three teams happy at the end of the year. Scott Drew always says the team that cuts down the nets and the national championship, the NIT, and now the Crown tournament. So we chance to go for the Triple Crown. It's a rare feat of being able to win all three of these tournaments. So let's do it. Let's hang some banners.
And remember, if Baylor does win this tournament, there's actually NIL money at play here. Baylor would win $300,000 if you actually win it. And even just being in it, I think you make like 50 just for being like a participant or something along those lines. So, some big money here at stake for Baylor as they get ready for this matchup. So, Ashley, let's start with Baylor's matchup. So they're going to take on Minnesota. It'll actually be the second game of the day because I believe Oklahoma-Colorado will kick off the tournament first. Baylor's sitting at 16-16, Minnesota 15-17. Baylor's 3-3 in their last six. Minnesota's 4-5 in their last nine. I mean, two pretty just kind of average teams right here going at it. But I think there's good players on both sides. I think you're going to see that. There's three guys when you look at Cam Carr, Tunde, and then Cade Tyson on the other side that can really fill it up. So it's going to be a very fascinating matchup, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, Minnesota's a team that's got no depth at all. They're like Baylor in that they have experienced a ton of season-ending injuries. They've got some good players, though. You know, they've got, obviously, you mentioned Cade Tyson. Their starting five is legit. Langston Reynolds is a guy that Bobby Durkin. I mean, they've got some players. And so it's going to take a good effort from Baylor to beat them. I think that, Baylor should win this. It's one of the few teams in the country that's thinner than Baylor. And, you know, they're only playing six guys and a couple freshmen in there. So I think if they can get off to a good start and advance, then we'll see how they do against what will likely be Oklahoma in the semifinals, I think. You're looking at a Colorado team that's already announced, you know, three guys, their top three guys have announced they're hitting the portal. I can't imagine they'll be that motivated. And I can't imagine Oklahoma's that motivated either, but we'll see. If Baylor can win this first one, build some momentum, you know, at least they'll guarantee that they won't have a losing season. That'll be good. And it's a fun tournament. I mean, basketball has been great. You know, you've had some great things happen in your life. Obviously, congratulations on the birth of your son, a monumental moment. But you've also have to dealt with some depression as well when your Duke Blue Devils lost in heartbreaking fashion to UConn the other day.
My Duke Blue Devils. I would have been more upset if you had said Purdue just getting taken to the woodshed by Arizona. But yeah the Duke one was
last second calls. But I'm going to Vegas. I'm actually excited about it because you're gonna get to watch the Final Four while you're there. And this tournament's really built for gamblers in a way because, it's that end of the basketball season when there's not much basketball on. But I think a lot of eyeballs will be on this tournament because it doesn't interfere with the NCAA tournament. And, people are hungry for basketball. They've got the appetite wet after such a great lead up to the Final Four. So I think Baylor might have a lot of eyeballs, and that'll be good for these guys to really end the season on a good note and build a foundation for next year and for some, pro careers in the near future as well. So hopefully they'll be motivated. I think all hands on deck. I expect all the guys to play. And my understanding is they don't get their NIL unless they're on the roster at the end of the year. So there's incentives there. I'm sure other schools, do the same thing. But, it should be a motivated team that's going for a championship here.
Absolutely. So a couple things on Minnesota. Unfortunately, they're going to be without Jalen Crocker Johnson, who's actually a San Antonio boy, played at Warren, the same high school as Taurean Prince, Baylor great. But man, they're going to miss him. He's kind of one of those guys that when you watch him play, really would have been kind of, I think, a problem for Baylor. He's a very athletic player, very good. Yeah, he's very, very good.
I wanted him on Baylor's roster when I saw, you know, that he would be hitting the portal. But you know, I think that obviously went with his coach, Medved, who was at Colorado State. He was there with him the year before that.
Yeah.
He didn't really have a great year efficiency-wise, but he's a player, man. He's, you know, 13-8 or 13-7, something mm-hmm. like that. You know, so they're going to miss him.
Yeah, they absolutely will.
They beat some high-end teams, all of them at home. But they, you know, they beat Iowa. They beat Michigan State. They beat UCLA. I mean, so they got beat Indiana. Those were all home games. But, I mean, this is a team that's proven they're capable of beating some good teams.
They have. Now, you mentioned those wins at home because their road and neutral game record is really bad. They're 2-13 on the road or in neutral games. Their only wins are over two terrible teams in Oregon and Northwestern. Losses to San Francisco, Santa Clara, which is a tournament team, Penn State, Washington, Indiana. Eight of those losses, of their total losses, so they have other losses to better teams, but those were kind of the ones that stood out to me. But eight of those 13 losses were by double digits as well. Yeah. So they've been really, really bad away from home.
Well, and, you know, Baylor's got an opportunity to play in a familiar area. Now, it's going to be at the MGM where they didn't play their games. I think all three of their games were at T-Mobile, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
I was there. I should know. But I think the tournament in November was at T-Mobile, but they'll be at MGM. But they're familiar with Vegas. I mean, I think all that stuff matters. You know, it's like, you know, probably staying in the same hotels, same routines. You know, it's you know, Creighton will have the same advantage as well. You know, I think that they're the fact that they've already been to Vegas as a team should be a small help to them as they get ready to, you know, try to do some damage here. What could you ask for, man? This is going to be great.
Yeah, it should be fun, especially in Vegas. Minnesota's pretty big, too. They start 6'4", 6'4", 6'7", 6'8", 6'9". Obviously, without Crocker Johnson, who's another kind of 6'8", 6'9", type guy, somewhere around there. That takes away some of their depth, like you mentioned, and then also impacts their size some. But they got some good players. Cade Tyson is their best player, averages 19.5 points per game, 5.4 rebounds, shoots 42% from three, so that means he's probably going to have, like, four or five threes against Baylor, most likely. They got two guys in their lineup that can't really shoot. Langston Reynolds, 25% from three. He's more of their defender, but also he does a good job getting into the paint, creates touches for everyone else, averages 11 a game. Isaac Azuma, who he's kind of, I feel like, almost their X factor because he shoots 6 3-pointers a game, but is only at 31%. So a lot of their offense is kind of going to ride or die on the fact of, is he going to make threes today or not? But he averages 11 points, 4 rebounds, 4 assists. And then Bobby Durkin is their other really good 3-point shooter, 40% on 6 attempts per game, averages 10 points. So good player. The guy subbing in for Crocker Johnson is Grayson Grove. He was a top 300 guy in his class. He's been pretty good in his starting opportunities, just kind of a Swiss Army knife, 6 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists, just does a few things here and there well for them. And that's pretty much the group that you're going to see. Like you mentioned, not a lot of depth on their bench.
Yeah. Hopefully Baylor can get him in some foul trouble. The Cam Carr and Cade Tyson matchup will be fun to watch for sure. Got a lot of similarities between those two guys. And hopefully Tunde will really shine. You know, big opportunity for him on this stage. It's Isaac Williams. You know, he's going to be back next year as one of our top players. And, you know, it's another growth opportunity for him. It's good to be playing. I mean, I know a lot of Baylor fans are holding their nose. You know, they expect the NCAA tournament with the success that Scott Drew's had over the years. But I talked to Scott for a good long time last week, and you know, he was excited about this, and you know, he was spending it positively like he always does, but it was legit. I mean, he wasn't different with me than he would be with the media. You know, he was very excited about this opportunity and excited about the portal and the type of team he'll have next year. So we'll have a lot of coverage on that on Sikkim 365 as soon as this tournament's over, because the portal hits Tuesday, the day after the national championship game. So that's going to be an exciting 30 days as we see who's going to be on the Baylor roster next year.
So if Baylor does win this game against Minnesota, they'll face the winner of Oklahoma and Colorado. This is a fascinating matchup, just because Colorado appears, of all the teams that are in this tournament, they appear to be the one that could care the least about this, and they have the biggest roster worries as far as they've already lost guys to the portal, really key parts of their team. This feels like, I don't even know that there's much to say here. I think Oklahoma is going to beat this team pretty easily by double digits, and just kind of skate forward. Colorado's, if they had all their pieces, it'd be more intriguing, but I still think I'd take Oklahoma regardless.
Which means Colorado will probably win by 20.
Right, yes, right.
I mean, you never know with these events, but Oklahoma is playing pretty good basketball. You know, they finished the season on a higher note, and you know, I think that they are a dangerous team. You know, that's going to be a tough – that if Baylor is able to win this thing, I think Oklahoma is the toughest foe that they'll face. I know you – I think you're predicting a West Virginia-Baylor final. Is that right? Or Creighton?
No, I'm actually going to have – well, sadly, I have Oklahoma beating Baylor. Okay. So I have an Oklahoma-West Virginia final. So I got Oklahoma winning this Colorado one. I'm taking Baylor to win the Minnesota one. Yeah. That's kind of where I'm at initially. But when I look at kind of Baylor versus Oklahoma, man, it's really interesting, right? Because Oklahoma, I think of all these teams, is probably the one that feels like they got, you know, not screwed by the bubble, because the bubble was weak and they didn't really take advantage of their opportunities. But I do think they were the closest to actually being in the tournament in my eyes. And so I do think they are the favorites here, and they're a good team, and they actually have some depth. They got some good players on their bench, even though they're missing a few guys. Their starting lineup is old, like pretty dang old and pretty dang solid. I mean, I have no idea how Nigel Pack is still playing college basketball, but he is, and he's shooting 45% from three. I just think they're a little bit more veteran, a little bit deeper, and I think that's going to give Baylor some problems. And ultimately, I do think they're going to win the crown. But I will say this. I do think whoever gets out of that side, so basically whoever wins the Baylor-Oklahoma game, I do think will win the championship.
Yeah, that's fair. I think Stanford's good, probably better than people think. So I'm predicting a Baylor-Stanford final, and I'll say Baylor squeaks by Stanford. Stanford has one of the best guards in the country, who's probably going to be a first-round pick. You know, freshman, incredible player. Okoro, is that his name? Okoro?
Something like that, yeah. But so I have them losing to West Virginia, because West Virginia, you know, they have a top 16 defense in the country. I mean, they just can't score at all. Yeah. But if they can slow him down, just one guy, they got a good shot. And so, yeah, that's kind of why I went with West Virginia. A little more battle-tested as well, because they actually play in a tough conference, unlike Stanford. You know, West Virginia actually had to go play some tough foes instead of getting to play the schedule that Stanford gets to.
The Dukes and the Virginias and the Louisvilles of the world. I agree. I think West Virginia is definitely more battle-tested for sure. You know, in Oklahoma, you know, certainly playing in the SEC and Minnesota in the Big Ten, they've been through the wars.
Yeah.
You know, I'm interested to see how Creighton plays. It'll be interesting to see who brings fans here. I would expect, you know, Creighton always travels pretty well. They, you know, the schools that don't have football, you know, tend to have fans that will do, you know, these types of events and look for an excuse to go support their team. You know, Creighton had a lot of fans in Vegas in November. So, you know, it'll be curious. I'll be curious to see if they have some fans there. West Virginia might have a few fans. You know, I don't know. Minnesota, Oklahoma. I mean, there won't be very many Baylor fans. I know that. Although I know some going for sure, myself included. But it'll be fun. I can't wait to see how they line up and compete in this tournament.
Yeah, I have Creighton winning that game against Rutgers, because I think Rutgers – if all these teams had all their pieces, I think Rutgers is the worst team in the field. And so, and their weakness is they can't stop the other team from making threes, and all Creighton can do is make threes. That's literally the only thing they pretty much do really well. And so, I remember at the beginning of the year, we talked about, you know, Creighton. I thought they weren't going to be a tournament team just watching them. And now you look to here and it's like, man, they just struggled all year long. They finished 3-9 in their last 12, and yet for some reason I think they're going to beat Rutgers and then lose to whoever wins Stanford versus West Virginia, which I'm picking West Virginia, but fully admit that Stanford is probably the second most likely or most trendy pick, I think, for this tournament.
Yeah.
But we'll see. We'll see how it all plays out. So who do you have in the championship? Do you got Baylor versus Stanford?
I'll do Baylor-Stanford, yeah.
Who's winning it?
My head says Oklahoma, Stanford, but my heart says Baylor. I think I never want to bet against Scott Drew teams and these types of tournaments. He does pretty well, you know, these preseason tournaments, these midseason tournaments. He just does a good job of motivating the group, and I do expect, you know, this group will put their best foot forward. And hey, $300,000 is not a meaningless sum of money. You know, as much as these guys get paid these days, what is that, still like $18,000 per player or whatever it ends up being, it's still, I wouldn't throw it in the trash. That's a significant amount of money for sure.
And you know the walk-ons are going to be pushing guys all week. They're going to be pushing, trying to get the paycheck here.
That's right. Absolutely.
That's the hidden value there. But it'll be a fascinating matchup. Just I think in general, Baylor, that first matchup against Minnesota, likely Oklahoma in that next round. A lot of good teams here, a lot of good quality opponents, I would say, even though the bubble was weak this year and even though some teams did decline invitations to this. I do think it sets up pretty well for teams to come in here, compete, and try to gain momentum into next year. We saw that with Nebraska this past year as they made a surprise run to the Sweet 16 and came within, you know, a terrible coaching decision from potentially making the Elite Eight as well. So this is definitely one of those tournaments that can be a springboard into how next season is going to look, particularly for the Bears.
Yeah, no question. All right, let's talk next season for a minute.
Okay.
You know, a dream would be that we both get Cam and Tunde back, but I put the odds at that at less than 5%. I'd say 30% that we get one of those guys back. So let's assume that there's 50% more money to spend. So you're going to have a better roster, hopefully, and not make some of the same mistakes you made last year.
And the year before.
I think an interesting insight. I think I'm allowed to talk about this, but there was a service that only like maybe 15 teams subscribe to, very expensive, but similar to what the NFL Combine does, that evaluates players, you know, just intangibles like mental toughness and character, you know, how they respond to pressure situations. And Baylor didn't pay for that last year. It was very expensive, you know, but the 15 teams that did pay for it, I think all of them are inside the top 30. Baylor is paying for it next year. I think it'll be closer to 50 teams that do pay for it next year. So a lot of the situations, like, you know, it's tough because you're making commitments based on maybe only knowing these guys for a couple weeks, and you know, then you're getting, as Scott Drew said to me, it's like, you know, you wouldn't date a girl and marry her within a few weeks, not if you're wise. You know, you're gonna want to, you know, see, you know, the full extent of the character develop over time. And similar, you know, it's tough because you're having to make quick decisions on guys and commit, you know, substantial amounts of money, and your job performance is going to be evaluated based on how well they do the next year. But, you know, this will be a tool that will help them, I think, eliminate some of the mistakes they've made the last couple years. You know, but what's your wish list? I mean, obviously, we need another guard that's going to be dynamic and be able to score and facilitate. That's a must, you know, certainly a versatile, like, big man as well. Assuming Bodo Bodo's back, assuming you have, you know, Isaac Williams will be one of your big pieces. What do you wish for is in terms of the rest of the roster?
I think the two biggest things that I just absolutely need to see is I need to see a dynamic kind of game changing point guard. I need them to go find someone who can really, shoulder that burden and really be a guy that's a consistent force for them all year and hopefully on both ends. But if he's not going to be an elite defender, he needs to be, you know, a James Akinjo level mindset defender where it's like, he might not be an elite defender, but he is absolutely going to go at you and going to try really hard. And whether it's get steals or just be impactful in certain ways while being awesome on offense, that's great. The other one that I really want to see, and this is just something that the more that I think about, the more I think it matters, is Baylor needs a super athletic and long four. I do not care how good this dude is on offense. I really don't care. If he rebounds really strong, really physical, really athletic, that's all I care about. They need to get back to this whole, you know, Mark Vidal obviously is kind of like the dream situation in some ways, but something like that where it's rebounding defense, going to protect the rim, going to just kind of be a linchpin in your defense next to Bodo. That position needs to be a super athletic person, and it needs to be someone who just can really, really go after the basketball and attack opposing big men and just be a good, solid player. Doesn't have to score a lot, just kind of be a piece of the offense instead of having to be a focal point. I think they need something like that this year in the portal. And if they can get those two spots, I'll feel a whole lot better about the roster, especially if you get one of Cam Carr or Tunde back, which I think Cam is probably the more likely one.
Yeah, man, I'd love like a KJ Lewis, like, you know, I don't know what he would cost, but somebody like that that's just like tough as nails, can just make you better in so many ways, even though he's not the most polished offensive player in the world. I think Ron Sanchez would really love someone like that too, you know, that can really defend. You know, four, like in the mold of Joshua Jefferson.
Yeah,
I would have loved to have seen Iowa State at full health against Michigan. I think they were really playing well before he went down. And I think they would have given Michigan all they could have asked for in that Elite Eight game had he not been injured. You know, Joshua Jefferson type player. And then I think, you know, the dynamic point guard. But the good news on that is nobody else wants that type of player. So that'll be easy to get that.
Right. Right. It really is one of those just evaluation pieces. Cause I remember, what was it? I don't know if it was last year or the year before, the guard that ended up, Javon Small, who ended up at West Virginia. Wow. And it's just like, that guy is playing in the NBA right now. And just completely whiffed
him over. I mean, no offense to Jeremy Roach, but we know he was, you know, checked out, playing a lot of golf, but can you imagine if we had Javon Small over Jeremy Roach
and exactly
that money to afford even another piece, like another, you know, really key rotation piece, it would have made all the difference in the world in that team. Yeah,
right, another big. You could have gotten small, and then you could have gotten a big, so that you weren't relying on Norchad to have to play the five like as long as he had to, basically that year.
Yeah, I know it's, and obviously there's a lot of ifs and buts with this last year's roster as well. But yeah, I think they're gonna, you know, definitely have a plan. And as Scott Drees said, you know, he may make other mistakes, but he's not going to make the same mistakes again. So hopefully you'll see a much more competitive team and you know, one that's going to be a lot better defensively. We've been saying that for a while, but I really do expect that's going to be an emphasis on this roster.
Yeah, they definitely need to shift their focus a little bit if that's going to be the case. Because as we saw this year, it was just a lot of not super athletic pieces, especially lateral and vertical. And then losing Bodo, it's like you can't even funnel guys to the rim because you don't have the rim protection that you need for that either. So lots of stuff that went wrong this year. We will talk about kind of more of this roster building approach, the transfer portal, all kinds of stuff coming up next week, kind of after this tournament. The portal is going to open. Ashley and I will jump back on another podcast to kind of talk about expectations, maybe even give some names at that point. Potentially we'll see kind of how things are looking, or maybe some archetypes that we're looking for at some of those positions. But aside from that, enjoy the crown this weekend. And thanks everybody for listening. This has been the Bearcast on Sikkim365.com.
Join Sikkim 365 Premium on a $1 for 1 month trial to read our experts' notes and insights. Know about high school commits, off-season transfers, coaching staff changes, and so much more before the rest. Also, download the Sikkim 365 app on your iPhone today to get instant notifications of breaking news, read up on the latest inside info, easily interact with other Baylor fans on our forums, and get alerts for anything published by your favorite staff members.